Graham Platner's actual legal withdrawal from the Maine Senate race didn't happen on camera in the 11-minute video everyone remembers. It happened 2 days later in a filing with the Secretary of State's office. And the letter that ended his campaign on paper closed with a profanity aimed at Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, followed by "Free Palestine, up the hearts, solidarity forever." That is how a Democratic Senate nominee, accused by two women of rape and assault, chose to exit a race his own party spent a year building around him. You're listening to Civic Intelligence. Here's what actually happened, who enabled it, and who's on the record now that the paperwork is filed. Start with the timeline. On the evening of Wednesday, July 8, 2026, Platner posted an 11-minute video to X, alone, announcing he was suspending campaign operations against Senator Susan Collins, Republican of Maine. Multiple outlets, The Daily Caller, Fox News, NBC News, and CNN, are specific about what actually triggered that video. Not the first allegation against Platner this year, and not even the second, but Jenny Rassicot's rape allegation. Rassicot, 41, told reporters that in 2021, during an on-and-off relationship, Platner entered her rural Maine home while heavily intoxicated and forced himself on her over what she says were repeated objections. A separate allegation from Lindsay Fifield, describing non-consensual condom removal and physical abuse, had been public for a day already and added pressure. But no outlet reviewed for this story calls it the actual trigger. Both allegations remain unresolved. Platner denies both. Neither has produced a criminal charge, and he is presumed innocent on each. The video only suspended the campaign. It took 2 more days to make it official. On Friday, July 10th, around 4:41 in the afternoon, Eastern Time, Platner filed formal withdrawal paperwork with Maine Secretary of State Shenna Bellows, 3 days ahead of his own statutory deadline. That filing, not the video, is what actually lets Maine Democrats put a new name on the ballot. The letter invokes the 156,084 Mainers who voted for him in the June 9th primary, and what he says they wanted: Medicare for all, an end to what he called taxpayer-funded genocide and forever wars, and economic dignity. "My name may have been on the ballot," he wrote, "but that ballot line belongs to the people of Maine." Then came the sign-off that made its own headlines, a profanity at ICE: "Free Palestine, up the hearts, and solidarity forever." The reaction split along entirely predictable lines. A Republican National Committee spokesperson, Kristen Cianci, called the exit proof of no accountability. President Trump, asked again about the case, repeated a point he'd made 2 days earlier, this time more pointed. "When a Republican woman came out with the same charge, nobody believed her. When this woman came out, everybody believed her." That's his characterization of a double standard between how Fifield and Rassicot were treated, not our finding. But the double standard he's pointing at is exactly what Act 2 is about. Here is the mechanism, stated plainly. According to a Daily Wire analysis of the timeline, Democrats tolerated Fifield's allegation, the first of the two, for more than a month, a stretch during which Platner's own polling reportedly improved. The party only turned on him once Rassicot's rape allegation made him electorally unwinnable. The same piece draws two comparisons worth repeating because they're precise, not partisan. Brett Kavanaugh faced no corroborating witness and remained presumed guilty in the same coalition's telling for years. Tara Reid's 2020 allegation against then-candidate Joe Biden got nowhere with the same activists now demanding Platner's head. Quote, "Believe all women got a lot more flexible when women started saying things the Democrats didn't like." And the piece's central argument: the Platner case demonstrated that it is not a matter of principle, but political convenience that compels the Democratic Party to purge its ranks. Civic Intelligence is citing that as one outlet's framing, not adopting it as our own finding. But the timeline it describes is the same timeline documented above, with direct attribution. It wasn't just the standard that was selective, so was the image. On Fox News' The Five, panelist Greg Gutfeld argued Democrats used Plattner's Lobster Man veteran biography to launder policy positions well outside the mainstream. "There's nothing folksy about his beliefs," he said. "It's pure chaos." Senator John Fetterman, Democrat of Pennsylvania, made a version of the same point without the humor, going on Fox News the night Plattner quit to say flatly, "The trash took itself out tonight. Adios, trash bag." Then turning on the man who built Plattner's national profile in the first place. Bernie Sanders needs to apologize to the voters of Maine and to everyone that donated to that train wreck of a campaign. What did they see in this guy? Fetterman's question has real answers, and the Washington Free Beacon put names on them the same day Plattner quit. Congressman Ro Khanna, Democrat of California, flew to Maine to argue for Plattner's redemption after toxic behavior allegations had already surfaced. Senator Ruben Gallego, Democrat of Arizona, endorsed him in March as an authentic man, saying flatly, "He's not anti-Semitic." Senator Bernie Sanders, independent of Vermont, endorsed him at launch and stood by him through repeated scandals. Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat of Massachusetts, endorsed him once his primary win looked assured, calling him "my kind of man." None of the four has walked back the original endorsement so much as simply gone quiet on it. Maine Democrats didn't wait for the paperwork to plan his replacement. Party leadership approved a first-of-its-kind nominating convention. 500 delegates from county committees, plus the party's own 100-member state committee, roughly 600 votes in total, with a deadline of July 27th to certify a nominee. Executive Director Devin Murphy Anderson spent the prior week accusing Plattner's own team of trying to steer that process. Once the formal letter actually landed, her tone shifted, calling the withdrawal the right thing to do, and promising a fair and inclusive process. Three names are drawing the most attention. Troy Jackson, a populist left former state Senate president backed by Sanders's own organizing group. Nirav Shah, a former public health official pitched as the moderate option, despite having lived in Maine only 7 years. And Shenna Bellows, the same Secretary of State who just accepted Plattner's withdrawal letter, running as the progressive alternative, best known nationally for briefly declaring Trump ineligible for Maine's 2024 ballot, a ruling the United States Supreme Court later overturned. Senator Susan Collins. The incumbent Plattner spent a year trying to unseat, kept the narrowest line of anyone in either party. She called the allegations appalling, said she'd never even heard Fifield's name before reading about her in the Times, and declined a victory lap. "It is not up to me to choose the Democratic nominee for Senate. Strip away every partisan gloss, and what's left is simple and not particularly debatable. Plattner is out, on paper now as well as on camera. His own party's vetting process is under scrutiny from both sides, and the allegations against him are exactly what they were before any of it, serious, unresolved, and denied." Graham Plattner's Senate campaign ended twice. First, in an 11-minute video that denied the allegations, then, 2 days later, in a formal letter to Maine's Secretary of State that closed with a profanity at ICE and "Free Palestine." Jenny Ratzakot's rape allegation, not Lindsey Fifield's separate claim, is what actually ended his campaign, and both remain unresolved. The Democrats who built him up, Sanders, Warren, Gallego, Khanna, have gone quiet rather than reckoned with it, while a Daily Wire analysis makes a case worth taking seriously. The party's own accountability standard bent for a month before it snapped. Maine Democrats now have until July 27th to pick a replacement through an unprecedented convention, with the woman who just processed Plattner's withdrawal, Secretary of State Shenna Bellows, among the names hoping to replace him. This has been Civic Intelligence. Check every source for yourself. The withdrawal letter, the video, the Free Beacons and Daily Wire's own reporting at civicintelligence.news. If this show is worth your time, subscribe, and we'll see you next episode.